Please take your Bibles and find the first chapter in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 4 through 10 today, but you want to keep your Bibles open, maybe looking for some other verses. What great and amazing worship today. Thank you all for leading us in worship. Thank you for participating. I know that the Lord is pleased that you have come to be in the Lord's house and that you have sang praises today. We're continuing in our month of January with a focus on the book of Jeremiah. Encourage you, maybe if you haven't read it or read it in a while, encourage you maybe read the book of Jeremiah. This started last week, but kind of with a focus on our theme for hope in the future from Jeremiah 29:11, and now we're kind of back to Jeremiah chapter 1 today, and we're glad that you're here and to participate in this. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10, this now is the word of God. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck you up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word today. I remember the first day that I met my oldest daughter. Now, that was about 35 years ago, and of course, it was the day that she was born. And I did not know, outside of the love for my Lord Jesus and the love for my wife, that I could love a human being as much as I loved her and still do. So much so that when the second daughter came along, I got to tell you that I was a little bit anxious until the day of the birth that I met her. I thought, could I really love another human being as much as I loved the first one? But then when I laid my eyes on her, I knew that I could love her just as much. Which one is my favorite? Whichever one is in the room, you understand. Now, a grandson has come along, and I remember the very first day I met him, but who's the favorite of those three? There's no contest. All of them are. But I remember the day that I met him, we came into the room to where they were. It was opened the door. We all came in, opened the door for my wife and my daughter's in-laws, and as they came in, I was kind of standing behind them, and my son-in-law said, "Who wants to hold him first?" And they hesitated, I'm sure out of unselfishness, and they were kind of standing in front of me, kind of zigzag, so I kind of swam through them and said, "I'll hold him first." You know, looking back, I realized it was kind of a jerky thing to do, but I have not regretted it one bit. And then there was the granddaughter, of course, that has come along. I probably could tell you today that if anything that she asks of me in this world, I will do. And so far, after 3 years, she has, and I will. So you understand how that is. Well, but you know this. You are parents and grandparents. You have parents and grandparents who love you. This is nothing new, what I have told you. But let's compare that, if we can, to Jeremiah and what God said to him. We read it just a moment ago in verse 5. "I knew you before I formed you in the womb. I consecrated you, ordained you, set you apart. I chose you before you were born, and I've appointed you to be God's prophet." How God loved Jeremiah and had a plan for his life. There's an unmistakable calling on his life, as we have seen. Is this so different from anyone else? Does God love you as much as he loves Jeremiah? I'm going to give you a biblical argument that he does, and he knew you before he made you, and there's a calling on your life. Here's where your calling may be different from Jeremiah's call. Probably few of us in here are called to be Old Testament prophets. But as specific as Jeremiah's call, God has a particular plan and call on your life, regardless of your age or your season of life. Wouldn't you like to know what that is? Or maybe you already know, and so you just recognize that you need to stay the course. This month, and particularly today, will help us to be faithful to the mission, the task, and the calling that God has on each of us in this room and for this church. I fully believe that if you'll pay attention to God's word today, to the text today, as well as other verses, Old Testament, New Testament, God will reveal to you how to discover his call on your life, or to confirm what you believe is his call and to stay the course. Jeremiah had a word from the Lord. I want you to notice the difference, if you will, between word and words. We speak words all the time, but to use the singular word carries with it maybe perhaps importance, or carries with it weight. Is there a word from the battlefield? What's the word from the doctor? Well, what's the word? Is it going to be a boy or a girl, speaking of babies, or are we going past the due date? Jeremiah received a word from the Lord. Notice the difference, that these are not just any words, they carry great weight and importance. Now notice, if you will, chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. In chapter 1 and verse 1, notice it says these are the words of Jeremiah. Not that they're not important, for Jeremiah, God used him to write the book, or actually maybe to dictate it to a scribe by the name of Baruch. But often throughout the 52 chapters of Jeremiah, we come across where Jeremiah proclaims, "This is the word of the Lord." Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 2 says that very thing. If you got your Bibles open, you might notice Jeremiah chapter 2 in verse 1, where it says again, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying," so forth and so forth in this book. God's word came to Jeremiah. "I know you, I've called you, I've appointed you, I've set you apart. This is what I want you to do." It's an important word also for you, for God knows you. He has appointed you, and he has something particular that he wants you to do. Now, Jeremiah's response was at the very least typical. You might remember when Moses stood before the burning bush and God was calling Moses. You might remember that Moses protested. He said to God, "I don't speak so good." And God said, "No, Moses, you don't speak well." Well, perhaps he didn't say that. "Lord, they'll not listen to me. Lord, please send someone else." When Isaiah was called, the scripture says that the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And Isaiah pleaded, "Lord, I'm a sinner, and I'm among a people of unclean lips." Jeremiah responds like a lot of people do to God's call. "Ah, Lord, I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a youth." Now, the word for youth here means at the age of 20 years or younger. God called him as a teenager. So to our young people and to our students and to all of our adults, what an amazing lesson for you to understand. God wants you to pay attention today. He wants to get your attention today. He wants you to follow his will for your life. Waiting can be a dangerous game. We recognize that we're not promised tomorrow, but even in the sense, and it's not that God cannot call you at any time or even call you at a later date, but we recognize that once we turn down a road that is the wrong road, or maybe the road we even think might be a good road, but it's not the best, it's not the one that the Lord has in store for us, then how even more difficult to find the right road and make the wise choice later. This is a passage you want to pay attention to, for God's not wanting to ask you to follow him at some later date in the future. The time is now. Like Jeremiah, we often use our age as our excuse. "I'm too young now. I wouldn't know what to do, wouldn't know what to say. Besides, I have plenty of time. After I get out of school, and after I get a real job and settle down, then I can worry about following Jesus and answering his call. Hey, I just got married. Maybe when we have kids, then we can worry about finding a church and all of that Jesus stuff. When my kids get older, after all, they're going to go to school one day. I need to put more focus on making some money. We just got the kids out of the house. We'd like a little us time. We'd like to travel a little bit for a while. Besides, I got grandchildren to go and see." Following Jesus and answering his call, well, that's really something for the younger generation. "I'm too old now. It's not something that I can do. I've got other things to worry about." Let the younger folks worry with that. God has a call in your life. Don't let your age or your season of life be your excuse. Jeremiah, in typical fashion, after some reluctance, more reassurance by God, answered God's call on his life. He was from a priestly family. His dad was a priest. His granddaddy was a priest. He would be appointed as a priest, as being from the priestly family, and that would probably be a little bit easier job. Not that it doesn't have its own challenges, but what the priests do is pretty well mapped out, what they do from day to day, week to week, and from month to month. Who knows what would happen to follow God's call as a prophet? Now, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, even sometimes the complaining prophet, but as we'll see, he stayed faithful to God. And as we'll find out, Jeremiah is not just a prophet of judgment and doom. In fact, if you've read Jeremiah before, you might have thought of all the judgment that comes in with what he's saying, but as you read it again, perhaps you begin to see that there's a hope and a future. What we want to learn, and we want to see and learn from, his faithfulness. So you've got your notes there. What about your call? What you need to know about your call? Your call will demand your all. Your call will demand your all. We talked some last Sunday about how Jeremiah was born among the tribe of Judah to where the king of Judah was Manasseh, one of the most evil kings at that, at least up to that time. But he was called as a teenager after Josiah became king. Why would this be important? Well, Manasseh turned the people even more toward idol worship. In fact, in the book of the Kings, 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 9, it says, "But they did not listen, and Manasseh led them astray to do more evil than the nations had done, whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel." Now, that's a pretty strong statement. God's people are doing more evil than the ones who were destroyed by the Israelites when they came into the promised land. Also, the scripture tells us, Manasseh has shed much innocent blood. We're not told exactly all the details of all the blood that he shed, but it says that Jerusalem ran blood from one end of the city to the other. No wonder holy God's getting upset. God needed someone to speak for him, or at least he chose someone to speak for him. And God said to Jeremiah, "Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated, I set you apart, and I appointed you." Letting us know human life is sacred from conception to the grave. Also, God had a plan for Jeremiah. God's people needed a word from the Lord, even if they would not listen. It sure seems Jeremiah was born for such a time as this. Morally and spiritually, things seemed at their worst with no hope of change. But Jeremiah was called to let God's people know they needed to repent, turn to God before it's too late. Already the exile was going to take place, according to Jeremiah's word, but there would be hope after the exile. Well, are things better today for us, spiritually and morally speaking? It seems so common today to hear of another random or senseless killing or shooting, like the pickup truck that raced down Bourbon Street on New Year's Day, killing at least 15 people. Kicking off what I'm sure will be even more tragedies in the world in which we live in 2025. It's okay to ask, where is God? Where was God when the Israelites spent 400 years of slavery in Egypt being mistreated? Where was God? Well, God was at work, and particularly in his calling of Moses and to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Where was God when the Israelites were turning away from God in the time in which Jeremiah lived? Well, God was at work, and he was at work in the heart of Jeremiah. Where is God today? Where is God today in senseless shootings that take place or tragedies that take place, like on Bourbon Street, or even while 10,000 homes and businesses even burn even now in Southern California? Well, he's at work in ways that we may not know. But primarily, he is calling you and me and others to follow his call and to share his good news and about God's love while living in this fallen, corrupt, and unpredictable world. Here's what you need to know about your call from God. You live in a perilous time. You live in a perilous and difficult time spiritually. It's not just that you need to know that we're living in dark times. It is that you and I, those of us who are followers of Christ, it is because that we live in perilous and dark times that we need to respond to God's call. God needs, I don't know so much that he needs, but he chooses to use people like Jeremiah to speak for him. Live before others, have a positive influence on this world, and for all to know that Jesus is the answer. You are here for such a time as this. Well, Jeremiah was shown two visions or two illustrations. These may have been miraculous visions that he saw, or it may have just been everyday things that he used in order to teach Jeremiah a couple of lessons. One of those visions is found in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it." An olive branch is what he saw. He may have actually been standing, looking out the window, or actually standing outside, common in that day, particularly in the spring, to begin to blossom. Now, in order to understand and appreciate this illustration, you either need to be a Bible scholar or have a good Bible commentary. Fortunately, you have me, and I have a good Bible commentary. Because one of the word that is used, the Hebrew word that is used for the branch that is used there, it is the word for the almond tree is shaked. And the word for watch or see is the word shoked. Sound close enough, it's a play on words. God will not forsake his promise, regardless of what his people do, even if judgment falls. Jeremiah sees the almond tree as a reminder that God is watching over his people. God still watches over them. You might remember in Genesis chapter 12, at the call of Abraham, that there were a couple of promises made. One was those that he'd be the father of a great nation, even though he had no children at that time, and he was 90 years old at that time, would have a child at 100. They become a great nation, or at least a large nation. And the second part of that promise was that all the world would be blessed. Well, how would from this nation all the world would be blessed? And we recognize and know that it'd be only through Jesus. God's going to keep his promise. He will not relinquish his watch over Israel. Israel, particularly Judah, will continue to be God's people. It's some good news in trying times. But God showed Jeremiah another vision. Verses 13 and 14. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, "The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see a boiling pot facing away from the north.' And the Lord said to me, 'Out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of Israel.'" He saw a boiling pot leaning over from the north, spilling out toward the south. God interpreted this illustration for him and for us. The enemy from the north would invade and devastate the land and its people because of their disobedience and because they have worshipped other gods. Well, who's the enemy from the north? Well, it would come to be Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, the Babylonians who would come in. Well, what made this significant, or maybe even hard to understand when Jeremiah began to preach this, is at that time they held no power. The powers to be at that time were the Assyrians and the Egyptians. And so when Jeremiah began to preach, there'd be someone from the north, or maybe told them be the Babylonians, that they had a hard time believing because they were not even having a threat at that time. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet because he wept over the nation's refusal to repent, sometimes wept over his own problems. He's the writer of Lamentations, lamenting Israel's fall as a nation. He had complaints, sometimes even complained about what God was doing, but he always took his complaints to God and he kept on trusting in him. He did not fail to persevere or falter. So here's what you need to know about your call. You can endure through your doubts. You can endure through your doubts. Even when the world seems out of control and all seems hopeless, you know there is hope. You got complaints? You feel like weeping? You ever think, what God is up to? What is God up to? Me too sometimes. Well, tell God all about it. He's big enough to handle whatever you bring to him. Many people bring their complaints to God, but maybe only after they brought their complaints to other people and in other places. Take them to God first. Like God said to Jeremiah, God may be saying to you, who do you see? Or what do you see? So let me ask you today, here we are in the house of God. Here we have seen today, and we've been a part of worshiping of God. We've been lifted up prayers to God. We've observed baptism. We have God's word open. What do you see? Do you see the cross of Christ? It is the empty cross of Christ, because we know the sacrifice that he made so that we might not be separated from God, that we might be able to live. We recognize, of course, as we look, what do you see today? We see an empty tomb. We recognize that Jesus, who died on the cross, rose again, and he's alive today. Jesus, Son of God, so that we might be able to come to him in repentance and we might be able to know him. If you don't know Jesus today, I have no doubt that the Lord has you here for such a time as this, so that you might be able to hear the good news even from an Old Testament prophet and understand that all that we see today and all that the Bible says, it points to a Christ who was crucified for us and who died on the cross and rose again. And we encourage you today, before our time is through today, even now, you can ask Christ to forgive you of your sins and ask Jesus to come in. When Jeremiah was born, the evil king Manasseh was the king of Judah. When God called him, Josiah was king. We read Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 2, or looked at it a moment ago. It was the 13th year of Josiah's reign. Still, Josiah was a young king because he became king at the age of 8. Well, that had to be something. But he came one of the best kings of Judah, serving more like David did. At the age of 16, he began to reform or to renovate the kingdom and remove the idols from the holy places. At age 26, he renovated the temple. And there they made a startling discovery. The book of the law had been lost. They found it while they were there renovating in the temple. The book of the law had been forgotten. But here, book of the law may have represented the book of Deuteronomy, or the first five books of the Old Testament. He had it read, had the people sought for the people to follow every word of the law, and in many ways the people did what the law was required. But for most, their hearts were still far away from the Lord. They had been doing the religious acts outwardly, but they had not inwardly repented. There was not transformation. Jeremiah's preaching and ministry would outlive King Josiah. He would call for true change that begins within and from the heart, but the people refused to listen. They felt and believed, like a lot of people do today, why do I need to change? After all, they went to the temple, they gave of their tithe, they often gave sacrifices. What more is there? And God prepared Jeremiah for the opposition that he would face. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 17 and following. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17, "But you dress yourself for work." God tells Jeremiah, "Arise and say to them, everything that I command you, do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, make you this day a fortified city." Jeremiah, you will be like a fortified city, an iron pillar, bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. "They'll fight against you, Jeremiah," the Lord said, "but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." Here's what you need to know about your call, about God's call on your life. Be ready to stand alone. Be ready to stand alone. If that's what God requires for you, of you, even if no one else follows, and you're the only one seeking the Lord, you would stand alone. But you're not alone, are you? You might remember the great prophet Elijah. Elijah had a dark time, seems to be depressed, and he says to the Lord, "I'm the only one left. I'm the only one seeking to follow you." And the Lord let him know that he was not the only one, that there were 7,000 more who have not bowed to worship idols, but who were following God. But even that's not the most important thing. We read earlier Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 19. The Lord said, "I am with you," says the Lord. We as a church want to be faithful to the mission we serve together. The faithfulness of the church and her mission depends upon the faithfulness of each member of the body of Christ. How can you know God is calling? You know, it's one of the most often asked questions that I get. How can I know God's will in my life? Well, if you're asking, you're at least on the right track. Let me tell you this, prayer is essential. Prayer is essential. If you want to know something, ask. I can't tell you how many times I've had a decision to make, and maybe I've wondered about it, I've contemplated, I've even asked others, and then finally I spend what might be an adequate time in prayer, and suddenly it becomes obvious what it is that I need to do. It's not always that easy to answer to what is God's call or God's will or making choices. It does not always come immediate. For if I were to tell you a particular formula that you need to pray exactly this amount of time or this way or in this endeavor, and if I could tell you a particular formula how to do that, well, and you could for sure know the answer, then you probably would do that, but you would probably then only do it when it was necessary. Sometimes God does not answer immediately, so that we might call upon him even more. His desire, more than anything else, is to have a growing relationship with you. Do you want to be a part of what God is doing in the world today, part of a growing church moving forward to fulfill the mission? Do you want to follow God's call on your life? Prayer will be essential. I remember 5 years ago, January the 1st, 2020, we kind of came into the new year, and we asked every member of the church to pray at least 1 hour on January the 1st. We said, we want to have 2020 vision in 2020. I'm sure we're the only church ever came up with that. But we had the sanctuary set up. You could come to the church and pray for an hour. If you could not or had other ways you could not be here, going to be out of town, you could pray for an hour wherever you were. I remember some good deacon calling me at 6 a.m. on New Year's Day just to let me know that he was praying. I thought, dude, I didn't go to bed till 2 o'clock. You could have called me later. But no, really, it warmed my heart. Listen, we want to be a part of all that God is doing. Church, you'll be called on, I'm telling you, to do something similar in 2025, to where we will increase our prayer life, and we will ask you, we'll ask every member to be a part of what's going on. But if you want to know if God is calling, trust and obey every day. Trust and obey every day. It will be hard for you and me to know God's will for tomorrow if we're not following God today. Are you burdened with what the future holds? Then do what you know to do. Do what you know pleases God until he gives you further instructions. Look again what the Lord told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 17. But you dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. If you want to know God's call, or if you want to know what God has in store for the future, then get up today, tomorrow, this week. Get dressed, go to work, go to school, or to the daily task. Spend time in prayer. Do today what you know God wants you to do. God will reveal himself in his timing. Former President Jimmy Carter, among his many accomplishments, most of them after he became president, among them, he was the longest living U.S. president at 100 years and 89 days old. Among our family photos in our house, there's a picture of our family along with Jimmy and Rosalind the day we went to the Sunday school and hear him teach Sunday school in Plains, Georgia. Well, regardless of what you feel about his politics or even his theology, his grandson who spoke at his funeral, he made the comment. He said his grandfather was the same every day and with every person and in every situation. And that's a good definition of integrity. You know, we need to be the same. That is, as godly people who are following Jesus, we need to be the same on Sunday, the same that we are Monday through Saturday. We need to be the same regardless of where we are, those who, as a representative and a follower of the Lord Jesus. One more key element. How can you know God is calling? Total submission of the heart. Total submission of the heart. Many or most people, if they want to know God's call or God's will, they would like to know first what all following God would entail, so then they might be able to make the decision as to whether they're going to follow God or not. Can I tell you from experience, it seems that God doesn't work that way at all. It seems that he reveals himself to those who are willing, no matter what or where that call may take them. Now, this is what takes time, because it cannot be mere words. It has to be true condition of the heart, a willingness to follow no matter what. At the age of 9, I walked down a church aisle. I'd already given my life to Christ a year or two before, but I walked down the aisle and I told the church, I believe the Lord was calling me to preach. I wasn't sure what to do next. Was I supposed to start preaching? And at the age of 9, I preached my first sermon at a vacation Bible school commencement service. But it must not have been very good, because I didn't preach again until I was 17. But during those years, and particularly high school, college, and even as a young adult, I struggled a lot with that call. Did God really call me to do this very thing? And did I really want to do this? And boy, the thought of being a preacher, pastor, tell you the truth, it scared me to death. How could I possibly? What's the human's two greatest fears? Death and speaking in public? I don't know about death, but I can tell you about speaking in public. And it was not until I came to the point that I said, God, whatever you want me to do, truly felt in my heart, I was willing to do whatever he wanted, no matter what. That's what I knew. And felt at peace about God's call. Still today, if I ever think about doing something else, he brings me back to the point to say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? No matter what it is, I'm willing to do. You'll need to ask God's help in this. Will you be willing to follow no matter what? Settle that issue. Then he is likely to reveal to you more of himself and what he has in store for you. There's many a Christian who live somewhat miserable lives because they're afraid of what God might call them to do, or they're so tied to the things of this world they've never submitted their heart to whatever God requires. Friends, I don't want you to be miserable. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jeremiah had a choice to follow God's call or not. God told him it would not always be the popular choice. Did you notice something very strange happens in this chapter? It was in verse 9. Don't know if you saw that or not, but it says, God reached down, and with God's hand, he touched Jeremiah's mouth. What that must have been like. Did Jeremiah see God's hand? Did he feel a touch on his lips? We don't know. But it might remind you of another time that we just celebrated when God left the throne room and came down and made himself known as he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. The writer of John's gospel, John begins by saying that he is the Word. He is the Word that became flesh. And the Word had just been put in our mouth, or like it was in Jeremiah, but instead the one who is the Word has been put in our heart. Even more unique than the hand of God touching Jeremiah is the person of God coming in human form, drawing us to himself so that we might be able to follow him and not follow this world or follow others. So what will be your decision today? To conform to the crowd or to carry the cross? To conform to the crowd or to carry the cross? Can I tell you there really is no standing still? One of these things that are happening today, even for every believer, we're either becoming more and more like this world, we're following the crowd, or we're becoming more and more like Jesus. And for that to happen, it must be intentional. We must make plans. We must be sure that we follow God, put him first in everything that we do. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Father, for the praises that we've been able to sing today, observation of baptism. We thank you for prayers that even now that we can lift, know that you're here wanting to meet with us. So we pray, Father, that even now as we come to the conclusion of the worship service, may it not be the end of seeking after you. But Father, even during this time, may it be the time in which we might continue to make our commitments to you, to continue commitments we've made already or to be brought close if we've been far away. We pray also, Father, for those who may be here today or those who may be listening today, that if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, or if they're unsure, that they can know that they can call upon you today, and with the promise that whoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. It's in the precious name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you please stand? We'll be singing our song of commitment today, and we encourage you to follow the Lord's direction in your life. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, we encourage you today, maybe even during this time, call upon him. If you'd like to be sure that you're doing it the right way, we have our ministry team down here at the front. We'll be glad to talk with you. I'll be glad to talk with you, and we can pray together. If you're looking for a church home, well, this is one way to join. You can come, say, I want to be a member of Parkway Baptist Church, and we'll just tell you the next steps from there. Our altar's open if you'd like to come and pray. Come pray with one of us as we sing together.